Jeff, thank you for that testimony. And there could be so much more that Jeff could say. And I would encourage you, some of you may need to hear some more from Jeff. I just say that he's an incredibly transparent man and will share with you his own personal journey. But, you know, as you heard, he was leading a very big organization, and his journey to lead his board and his staff and his volunteers through a transformation process where in many times they didn't eliminate what they were doing, but they had to change what they were doing and how they were doing it from the inside out. He learned some invaluable lessons. So I would just encourage you, if you find yourself in a similar place, that you would avail yourself of resources like Jeff. And I'll just put a plug in for another ministry because I'm not in competition. The ministry, one of them that Jeff was talking about, the Mission Increase Foundation, works especially and specifically with nonprofit groups. They align incredibly well with the message of Go Strategic. And even more importantly than that, as great as that is, man, they are biblical in an incredible way. And so a great resource to consider, especially if you're leading, as Jeff has been, a 501c3 nonprofit ministry. It's my privilege to share here for a few minutes. Many of you know sometimes less is more. I feel like right now the Holy Spirit's prompting me in that way, and it doesn't mean that I'm not supposed to say something, but I don't think I'm supposed to introduce anything new right now. I think I'm supposed to just bear witness to things that have already been said. Jade, when you started with John 3:16, which wasn't part of my original notes, and God's just like, you gotta hit there. I knew that my role this morning was to be more testimonial than teaching. If you have notes, it's good they're bare bone in the program here because I don't have to follow them the same way anyways in light of time. But I want to look at, and it looks like I lost the screen. That's okay here. I want to look at Nehemiah 2, 3 to 5. If you have your syllabus, it's in the syllabus. And I actually want to compare and contrast two scriptures just for a moment. God's wanting to do a heart work. That's what Jeff was talking about. It's what Jade was talking about. And it's just what I want to echo, and it relates to why we have the title for the comments that I make about a father's heart for his city. This could apply to family, this could apply to wherever your sphere or place of ministry is. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, Nehemiah is writing in a testimonial fashion, telling the story of what God did in his heart and life in regards to a great work in Jerusalem. And early in that story, he's talking about how he got the authorization that he needed to engage the work that God put on his heart. And in these couple of verses here, he captures, to me, a very poignant moment of the story. And certainly if you're, especially in those who are here in the Statesman Group or in other capacities where you recognize that God has called you to do a work in your community in an intentional way. Nehemiah is a great resource from the scripture to reflect upon in regards to that call and that work. And he says, I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad? The king had seen his countenance and said, all right. Now, obviously, Nehemiah had served the king in such a way that he had attracted his attention, someone that the king took interest in. And so the king noticed something was going on with Nehemiah. And here Nehemiah gets an opportunity to confess to the king the things that he'd been thinking about and the things that he'd been weeping about and the things that he'd been praying about and the things that had been consuming his heart. And so as he gets that opportunity to pour out what was going on inside, he says, when the city, the place of my father's graves, those are pregnant words right there, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. And then the king said to me, what are you requesting? And so I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. Now, as you read the early chapters of Nehemiah, and as you look at even just these couple verses, you can't escape the passion that is present in Nehemiah. You can't escape that how he looked physically and how he was expressing himself emotionally and the content of his thoughts, that he was wrecked by what was going on in the city of Jerusalem. Now I want to, as we're looking at transcendent principles and as we're looking at the overall mandate and call that God has on us in Christ Jesus, because of the good news of the gospel and because of the scope of the gospel and because of the proclamation of God's kingdom, and we grab a hold of those things and we understand the story and we begin to see our place in it, we should want to help. And as those who have love and compassion in our hearts, when we see problems and needs, we should want to be able to address them. But I want to dig deeper than just, here's a problem, fix it. Because that's not John 3:16. Certainly, the world was in a mess. Certainly, the world was in a big deal of hurt. But I believe that when it says, for God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that this wasn't, here's a problem, I'm going to fix it. Here's a need, I'm going to meet it. Here's a hurt, I'm going to heal it. Though all of those things are wrapped up in this. This is much more personal and passionate than that. Jesus. Man, I'll tell you what. Jesus loved. The great love that just hushed the crowds and humbled the masses. The love that healed people. The love that was so evident that the woman with the issue of blood, somehow she just knew, if I could just get to the hem of His garment, I'm going to be changed. As great as that love was, I don't believe a single person really saw the depth of the love and care and concern of Jesus' heart. Not that they didn't see it as much as they could. I'm just saying, it's bigger than we can understand. I want to compare this verse in Nehemiah. You know, he talks about the walls being broken down, the gates being burned with fire, right? This is the condition of the city. Nehemiah hears a report. He goes to see for himself. And as he goes by the walls, he sees walls torn down, gates burned with fire. He sees a structure in ruin, right? Now, I recognize I'm not going to be comparing apples to apples here, but I want to look at a similar picture that's given in the Scripture. Just for a moment, just to make hopefully a very clear point for us. Proverbs chapter 24, the last few verses, verses 30 to 34 says this, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw, and I considered it. I looked, and I received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. That's the Word of God. That's the Scripture. That is wisdom, and that is something that we should grab a hold of and take into our lives. That is good. Hear me here. That is good. But I want to make a distinction here, because there are places in this world, as it relates to you, where that is not good enough. It's good, but there are places where that's not good enough. See, this man in the proverb, he's passing by this thing and he's seeing a problem. He's seeing a need. He's by the Spirit of God. He's reflecting on what he's seen. We should live that way. And he says, I received instruction. And out of that instruction, a transcendent principle was made clear to me. The natural condition of the garden is weeds. I don't have to plant weeds for them to sprout up. Without care, without stewardship, things are going to go in a wrong direction. Without the gospel coming and bringing transformation, I don't have to work to see things get messed up. All right? That's a good thing. And when I travel to your city, it's fine for me to get instruction looking at different issues and needs. But Nehemiah, when he went by Jerusalem, did not get instruction. Nehemiah got enlisted. Proverbs 24, man, that is good stuff and it should apply to all of our lives. And I hope as you've come here to Santa Rosa, California, my Jerusalem, that you've gotten some instruction. But wherever you go from here, God wants you to get enlisted. He doesn't want you just to see the condition of the wall and say, what's the fix? What's the transcendent principle that needs to be applied here? That, you need that. Nehemiah needed that. He was guided by the Spirit of God in incredible wisdom and implied amazing. You want to talk about transcendent principle? Family unit. How about him putting the families in front of the wall? You know, they were building the wall right in front of their house. It is so rich. There's so much more. And I know personally, because I've heard some of you in this room preach it, there's people here who can teach Nehemiah better than me. But I simply, I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to tell you that whatever instruction you got here, when you go to wherever your pea patch is, wherever your Jerusalem is, getting instruction is not enough. He wants you to be enlisted like Nehemiah was enlisted over Jerusalem. He wants there to be a father's heart or a mother's heart for the place that you've been called to. Because here's the thing. God has a purpose for that place. And what's going to bring forth that purpose is not just a transcendent principle. It's what Jade said. It's a son or daughter operating with the heart of the Father to bring the life and the truth of the gospel and the freedom that Jesus said that comes with him and the abundant life and creativity and culture of the kingdom that is righteousness, peace, and joy and the Holy Spirit overflowing. That doesn't come just from applying a transcendent principle where we're instructed. It comes from enlisted sons and daughters sowing their lives into that Jerusalem that they've been called to. I'm so honored to have an opportunity to be with you, let alone to say some things. And I've been captured in working to express the gospel and the kingdom of God to my Jerusalem and in Santa Rosa and Sonoma County. And we've done some things that have been good and we've done some things that have failed. It honestly doesn't matter to me in certain ways, success or failure. I'm enlisted here. I don't mean success or failure matters. The point is here, I'm here for the long haul. My life is here. I'm not building a resume so I can talk to people about city reaching. I had an opportunity to go sit in the city council chambers. Our city, besides the elected officials and the staff, were run by 26 volunteer boards and committees. They're appointed positions and there's application process. And I went to a meeting where city staff, city elected officials were having a public meeting to the few people who were interested in showing up to talk about these boards and commissions to give kind of a state of the city. Here's the needs, here's the gaps if you want to apply here. And I'm sitting there as I'm wrestling with these very issues. And I'm thinking about all the great things we want to do with the statesmen. This is just personal thing with me. I don't know how it'll come across. It's just my story. And I'm sitting here with some of the opportunities and different things and saying, man, you know what? I mean, this is just me, reflection. It just dawned on me as I'm being greeted by the police chief and the mayor and the city staffers and seeing, and you know, I was there just to support the city. I didn't recognize them. I'd be like, oh, are you going to jump on this and jump on that and this and that? And God just met me, and I just got clear on my motivation. I'm not here because I've got some great call in city reaching. I'm here because I love Santa Rosa. I'm learning what I'm learning, not because I'm trying to build a city reaching ministry. I'm just trying to follow God. He's just enlisted me for this community. I think that's what's necessary for us, because man, we're in all of our communities in this culture, we're swimming upstream, and we got some challenges ahead of us. For me, I'll just close with these two things. For me, I recognize that one of the incredible enemies in my life and in the church of my city is indifference. We can't be enlisted because our heart has grown cold to the people and into the needs of our community. You know, Jesus said, I know there's a broader context to this, but he said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, that as lawlessness increases, as iniquity increases, the love of many will grow cold. And I think that's happened all over the world. I heard a study, and I can't quote it enough, but I certainly remember it, where they asked someone, what is your greatest fear? And you've heard public speaking and all that. This particular study, I don't know how they framed it, but it was, man, this was so profound. As they went after, the greatest fear that was listed from people was that, my greatest fear is that people would know how small my capacity to love is. That my spouse would know how little I actually love them. That people would know just how broken my ability to love is. And I think that's really true. And I'll tell you that for me, my journey of being enlisted in the city of Santa Rosa, hopefully for the purposes of God, to walk in Nehemiah's path, it started with repentance over indifference. And honestly, I don't know, and this is part of Jeff's testimony as well, he'll tell you, I don't know that any good thing that I've ever done in my community, any good lasting thing that I've ever done in my community, came out of anything other but being traced back to some type of repentance. Mm-hmm. Second thing I want to leave us with is just, and again, it's part of Jeff's story from an organizational and personal standpoint, is, guys, we got to be in this for the long haul. We're not just looking for change, we really are looking for transformation. And I think sometimes we don't understand the perseverance that's required for transformation. Some of you have heard me say this before, but just grabbing from something from the natural world, from the physical world, one of the elements that's a great picture for us in regards to the nature of transformation is water, right? It can be in the form of ice and liquid, or solid, liquid, and gas, right? And those of you who are much further in the physical world, I'm going to humiliate myself as I talk about all these things, but give me grace. In order for water to go from solid to liquid and from liquid to gas, there is a transformation that's necessary in the molecular structure of those two there's one hydrogen and two oxygen molecules or atoms. You know, when you boil water, it's a process of change that leads to transformation. Okay? There's a process of change, which is the infusion of energy that changes the temperature of that water molecule, right? And we measure that. We've developed units of measurement, right? Now, different units based on what country you're in, but using kind of the international centigrade, that 0 to 100, We measure the change in the water in units of energy of one unit of energy per degree up to 100. So it takes 100 units of energy to take water from zero liquid up to 100 liquid, which is the temperature at which water boils. 100 units of energy to change water from zero to 100, where it gets to the place where it can boil. You may or may not know this. Have you ever heard a watched pot never boils? Well, it seems like forever. It seems like the water is right there and ready to boil, and then it's like, I know it's close and it's taking forever. It's not just in your mind. Once water gets to 100 degrees centigrade, and that took from 0 to 100, that took 100 units of energy. It takes another 540 units of energy to take water from 100 degrees liquid into the gas form. Almost 5.5 times more energy at the same temperature. Because, friends, what's necessary to bring change is not enough to bring transformation. And it is a perseverance process. The energy that's needed to really change that structure, to reconfigure it so it can come into being another expression of what it is a significant amount of energy. Now, I've said it before, some of you have heard me say it before, I'm absolutely thrilled with the change that is taking place across this nation as the gospel is going out and people are engaging families and schools and businesses and communities. It is awesome, and I see the temperature rising, but I just am hoping we are in it for the long haul and that we've been enlisted in such a way where we can persevere so that when it looks like we've hit a plateau where something should be happening that we're not seeing happening, that we will stay in it long enough to know that it's not time to give up, that I got to 100 degrees and it said something was going to break forward and I haven't seen it break forward and I haven't seen it break forward, that we'd recognize there's a deeper energy coming because there is a fundamental transformation happening in us so that Christ can be revealed in the community. And I'm telling you, if you walk by your walls and are only instructed, I don't think you're going to have what you need to get from change to transformation. So as you are here, and as we're going to go to discussion groups and go after these things, man, grab all the instruction you can. Look at the broken walls of Santa Rosa and gain instruction. That's awesome. But I just want to tell you, I believe the call of God on you this morning is that you'd open your heart so wherever you're going back to, it would be like your Jerusalem. And like Nehemiah, you could get enlisted. Not just to bring change, but to be an instrument because of receiving the transforming work of Christ in your own life. You'd be an instrument of transformation for His kingdom into the world. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.